Morning, everybody. Morning. Ladies and gentlemen, fellow saints, pilgrims on the journey, good to have you with us. Jesus is coming back. It's a good announcement, isn't it? Jesus is coming back. Who was here 2 weeks ago when I preached on the return of Jesus? Because I'm going to do a bit of a recap. If you weren't here, that's fine. I'll go over some of the initial details. But for those who were here, you'll remember I had 8 sheets of notes. And I got to page 2. And so people said to me, you must carry on. Well, I've got to carry on because we're moving into 2 Thessalonians today, chapter 1. And it's still about the return of Jesus. So, there will be some extra information on top of the 8 pages today. So, if you've got your Bibles, 2 Thessalonians. It's quite a short chapter, just 11 verses. So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Good church, isn't it? Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you, and give relief to you who are troubled. And to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. That's quite a scene, isn't it? Appear from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Wow. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power, he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Big stuff. There's a great church in Salonika or Thessalonica. Since we've got Thessalonica these days. The city of Thessalonica was founded in 315 BC by Cassander, who was the king of Macedon. It was about 100 miles west of Philippi. And the people in the city were the Greeks, the Romans and the Jews. And now the Christians as well. And Paul's writing to them. Now I need to go back to the previous letter. Last time I was in chapter 4. I'm going to start reading 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. Which has been called the noisiest verse in the Bible. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command or with a shout. with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. That's a lot of noise. You know, when God speaks, when God spoke in the Gospels, people thought it thundered. That was just him speaking. When he shouts, well, I think buildings will shake, and maybe mountains will shake. God shouting. Powerful image. And a trumpet going, and an archangel shouting as well. The noisiest verse in the Bible. And it will wake up the dead. The dead in Christ will rise first. Good question. I was asked last week, and I did mention it 2 weeks ago. The dead in Christ, doesn't everybody go to be with Jesus when they die? Yes. Everybody goes to be with Jesus when they die. But their bodies don't. Their bodies, you know, we bury them or we cremate them. But they go to be with Jesus as soon as they die. So what does he mean? The dead in Christ will rise first. Well, those who've died, they'll come from heaven with Jesus. Actually, I should read on, because it's the next verse. The dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We can turn to the person next and say, you are going to meet Jesus in the air. And say it. Go on and say it. I mean, they are. They're going to meet Jesus in the air. So the dead in Christ, they will be reunited with their bodies, but their bodies will be new bodies. About like Jesus' resurrection body. They don't need their bodies right now when they're in heaven. But it's a different system altogether. Spiritual system. They're worshipping with the saints, with the angels around the throne, just what I've been singing. They don't need physical bodies. When they come back, Jesus is going to reign on earth, like Ray was saying. And he may get interviewed on BBC, who knows? He might close BBC down. I think he might close BBC down. CNN, I think he'll close them all down and start new ones. Who? New Kingdom Broadcasting Channel. Yes, why not? But anyway, suppose he just redeems it and lets it carry on. He'll probably be interviewed on there. But he's going to reign on earth. Going to reign on earth. He's going to set up his reign on earth. And so, who will be reigning with him? We will. It says in Revelation, your kings and priests, you're going to reign on earth with Jesus. That's your future. And our training for that is happening right now. We're learning things right now that will be of use to us when Jesus says, I'm putting you in charge of that. I mean, you think of all the reigning that goes on in the world. There's only 200-odd countries, so there can only be one. I don't know how Jesus is going to do it. He's going to have a council of leaders. I don't know. But suppose he has a king over each country. That's only 200-odd people. But there's various levels of ruling, isn't there? There's councils. There'll still be education. We'll still learn stuff. The children, but they don't want to hear that. But it'd be good education, you know. It'd be stuff we want to learn. I mean, I love learning stuff. I enjoy it, don't you? I didn't so much at school, actually. But once I left school, I started to enjoy learning. Could have been something to do with the teachers. I don't know. But when you learn for yourself, it can be very enjoyable. And we will learn new things. Jesus will be our teacher. And then we'll all have different roles. I'm going to say something controversial, which you may not agree with. There will be rewards for believers. You will be rewarded. I mean, you've already got loads of rewards, haven't you? Eternal life. I mean, there's a massive reward for you. Reigning on earth is a great reward. But remember the parable of the talents? Jesus gives 10, 5, and 1. Comes back, one of them's used his 10. Well done, you'll reign over 10 cities. Well done to you, you've got 5. You reign over 5 cities. You buried your talent. You didn't do anything. You won't reign over any cities. What's the meaning of that parable? To me, the meaning is there's going to be rewards. So, your job might be reigning over a city. You know, you might reign over Salford. Salford will improve massively when you reign over it, with Jesus as your guide. If you don't know what to do, you know, you'll refer to somebody very, very godly. Because the people in charge have been the most godly people. The people who've been the most godly out throughout the ages will be rewarded. God notices everything you do, doesn't he? He sees everything you do in private. He sees the smallest thought. He knows what you're thinking before you think it. It says in Psalm 139, he knows when you're going to sit down and when you're going to stand up. Before you thought it. So when you think something, God sees it. When you think something kind about somebody, God sees that thought. And he's going to reward you. He's going to reward you. He says, for a cup of cold water, you'll be rewarded. Some Christians don't like this because I don't need rewards, they'll say. I'm just happy to be going to heaven. Couldn't Jesus use a different word, not rewards? Unfortunately, Jesus, if you think like that, did use the word rewards. But don't confuse it. Our salvation is completely free. That's where freedom comes. We don't earn that in any way. We don't earn our salvation in any way. That's what the Reformation was all about. Free gift of God. But in the life to come, there's rewards. There's crowns. There's roles to play. He says to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, the seven churches, if you overcome, you will receive... a reward. To the church at Laodicea, if you overcome the apathy in your church because you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, if you overcome that, you will receive. Now, if the church is apathetic, Jesus wants us to rise above that. He wants us to have dedication and fire in our love for Him. Okay. Last time I talked about knowing the future. People like to know the future. It's under three different ways of knowing the future. There's futurology departments in universities where trends are studied on resources, population growth, economics, and forecasts are made about what the world's going to be like and what we're going to need in 10 years' time, 20 years' time. Forecasts such as that the world's going to end in 2040, things like that. These forecasts don't tend to be all that accurate. It's been estimated that they're about 25% accurate. Climate study, change, resource predictions. On them, people study the future, they want to know what's their future, so they go and see psychic people. And they look at their horoscopes and have tarot cards and palms reading. They want to know what's going to happen to them. They're about 5% accurate. Sometimes they get it right. It's been estimated 5% accuracy, therefore 95% inaccurate. And then there's the Bible. Bible prophecy. How reliable is that? There's many, many biblical prophecies, thousands, but they refer to 737 incidents. There are several prophecies about certain incidents. Several prophecies about Jesus coming again, for instance. Out of the 737 separate forecasts in the Bible, 594 have already come true. That's 80%. 80% accuracy. What about the other 20%? They're about the end of the world. They've not happened yet. In other words, every event which is past, that was prophesied in the Bible, has happened. 100% accuracy. Who should we trust for the future? This is what we should trust for the future. God has revealed to us what the future is. He's revealed to us his plans for mankind. They've always been the same. I want to walk with people on earth. It's Garden of Eden. That was why it was established. I want to walk with people on earth. I want to work with people on earth. I want to commune with people on earth. I want to walk and talk with them in the cool of the day. I want them to do things with me on earth. That plan got ruined. Plan A got ruined. Plan B will not get ruined. Plan B is Jesus will return, will establish his reign on earth, and we'll reign with him. Yes! Also, we referred last time to the fact that I used to think, when I first became Christian, that Jesus has returned. Is he really coming back, or does it mean he's coming back for each one of us when we die and he'll take us to be with him? Is that what the second coming is? No, it can't be, can it? Not when you read verses like this. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with all that noise. The dead in Christ will rise first. Those who are alive will be caught up with them, meet with them in the air. We estimated the numbers of that last time. This is not just a personal return of Jesus for one person. This is the gathering together of all those who have ever believed in him at the same time. We tried to estimate that number last time. Some people said there's 1 billion Christians who've lived and died throughout history. And then other estimates, so there are 1 billion Christians on earth right now. So that's 2 billion Christians will meet with Jesus. Which stadium should we get to get the 2 billion in? J.J. Bell? How many does that hold, Chris? 12,000. It's not good enough. We need somewhere that holds 2 billion. But that's not all, is it? Because all the angels as well. Jesus is coming back and these angels are with him. How many angels are there? Well, every person has an angel. So there's 2 billion angels. That's at least 4 billion. But Jesus has an answer to where we should meet. In the sky. That's big enough. So we'll meet in the sky. So let's suppose it happens in... What year are we in? 2017... My theology, it's not going to happen in the next 7 years. That's my theology. Because there's going to be a countdown of 7 years which will begin when the man of sin is revealed, what the Bible calls the man of sin. He's not been revealed yet. I believe there's a 7-year period after the man of sin is revealed and then Jesus returns. It says in the Bible, no man knows when, no man knows the day or the hour. And we don't. We don't know when that's going to happen. But once the man of sin is revealed, then we know the clock has started ticking. The things that Jesus said would happen. 7 years later, I believe, from that point, Jesus will return. So I don't believe it's going to happen tonight or tomorrow or in the next 7 years. That's just my belief. There's many godly people who've got different views on that. And they think it could happen right tonight. Unexpected. Thief in the night. Nobody knows. We read last time that so the majority of the population, it will be like coming like a thief in the night. And this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So look at chapter 5. Now, brothers, about times and dates. This is what we're talking about right now. Times and dates. Could it be in your lifetime? Yes. Could be in your lifetime. Could it be in my lifetime? Yes. Could be in my lifetime. Is there anybody in the room whose lifetime it couldn't be in? No. Could be in anybody's lifetime in this room. Do I think it'll be in the lifetime of people in this room? Yes, I do. I'll come back to that in a minute, because there are certain trends that we talked about last time, which are happening now. So now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Become as a thief in the night to those who are not waiting for it. Destruction will come upon them. Otherwise, those who are going to be judged. It will come like a thief in the night. They won't know, they won't expect it. But look what it says in verse 4. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We don't belong to the night or to the darkness. So let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. So in other words, it is going to come like a thief in the night to many people. To others it won't be such a shock. That's the way I read that passage. Now, what's the trends that are happening right now that makes me think it could be in your lifetime? One is we have a state of Israel, the establishment of the state of Israel, 1948. Two, this is the one that Jesus mentioned, when this gospel is preached to all tongues, tribes and nations, then the end will come. According to the Bible translators now, Wycliffe Bible translators and their stats, they have now, either, I don't know when it's in the next year or two, or whether it's already reached, they will have reached every people's group with the Word of God. That's never happened before in history. The third trend Jesus talks about is a great falling away in the church. People losing faith in the church. Those three trends, establishment of Israel, preaching of the Word of God to every tribe, tongue and nation, and a falling away in the church, they're all happening right now. Turn to Matthew 24. See what Jesus says about his return. Matthew 24, we looked at this last time. You remember the disciples asked him two questions. So Matthew 24, verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things, he asked? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. Jesus pointed at the temple, saying it's going to be thrown to the ground. Here's the questions, the two questions. Verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? See the two questions? When will this happen? When will the temple fall down? And then second question, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So remember that as we read through the chapter, he's answering two different questions. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. Now we saw that in 2 Thessalonians 1. That deception is going to be one of the things that causes people to fall away in the church. Don't be deceived. Deception. How are you going to avoid being deceived? We know if somebody comes and claims to be Jesus, suppose we're here tomorrow that somebody in some other country is claiming to be Jesus, and people are flocking to him, maybe he's doing signs and wonders. We know it's not Jesus. Don't be deceived. Some people will be deceived in the church. How will we avoid being deceived? By knowing our Bibles. Know your Bible. That's why we preach the Bible every week here. Because we don't want anyone deceived, and we don't want to be deceived. We want to know what's right and what's wrong, and what's light and what's darkness. So don't be deceived. Jesus said deception will come and people will fall away. And when the church starts questioning whole chunks of the Bible and saying, no, that doesn't apply now. That doesn't apply now. He didn't mean that. Well, that was only Paul saying that. Well, Jesus said that, but what he meant was this. We have to stick to what the Word of God says. We have to be true to the Bible. Otherwise, we'll be deceived as well. People will say things to us and we're like, oh, could it be? What's the Bible say? What does the Bible say? So let's move on. Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ, and he'll deceive many. We know when he comes, we'll see him. He'll be in the sky. Billions. Unmissable. Unmissable by everybody. Believers and non-believers. Everybody will see. Jesus will come down, the Messiah. He will stand on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. As I said last time, all 2 billion can't come and stand on the Mount of Olives, but Jesus can. The others will get dispersed. I'm placing you in such a place. You're going to redeem the city that you lived in. That's your job, you people. You're going to govern it for me on godly principles and righteous principles. Wisdom will reign, righteousness will reign. There'll be no suffering. There'll be peace, joy, love. That's, people relate to each other on that basis. That's why I want you in charge. It's good stuff, this. This is the future. Is it pie in the sky when you die? Well, not if you believe the Bible, no. This is what's going to happen. So verse 6, you will hear wars and rumours of wars. See to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted, put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Here's the falling away, verse 10. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. There's that prophecy about the gospel being preached to all nations. Then the end will come. But what did you read about leading up to that? It sounded like a lot of bad news, didn't it? Wars. Rumours of wars, famines, earthquakes, persecutions. Some people falling away. Verse 10, at that time many will turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The love of God in our hearts is what's going to see us through. How much do we love God? Remember when Jesus said to Peter after he denied him? Peter wants to talk about his denial, how he's let Jesus down. Jesus says, do you love me, Peter? That's what I want to know. Yes, you know I love you. But, no, Peter, do you love me? Yes, yes, I love you. But I've let you down, Peter. Do you love me? That's the question for you and me. If we really love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, we won't fall away. That's what will hold us on, the love of God. If you don't love him, then you will give up what is important to you. But if what is important to you is the love of God, you won't give up. This sounds like bad news for a while. I don't believe it is all entirely bad news. It says in Joel chapter 2, it will be a great day and a terrible day. The day of the Lord when he returns. It's going to be a great day for those who love him. It's going to be a terrible day for others. But it's a great day. So are things going to get worse or are they going to get better? Some branches of Christianity used to think everything's going to get worse. A lot of people fall away. There'll be about a dozen of us left. Jesus will come and rescue us. Hold the fort, for I'm coming. Well, there'll only be a remnant of you left because a lot will fall away. Others think, no, church will grow massively. Church will be triumphant. Church will be victorious. Then Jesus will come. Is it going to get better or worse? Joel said it's a great and terrible day. It's going to get better for some people. It's going to get worse for other people. For you, as a believer who loves God, it's going to be a great day. A wonderful day. A joyful day. Can you imagine this procession when it arrives in the sky? The noise, and then the numbers, and the royal procession, the parousia around the earth. Every eye will see. That's Jesus. Every knee will bow. He's God. He's God. I'm bowing before him. They were right after all. Those Christians, those silly Christians who used to have soup parties, they're right after all. They said the world was going to end this way. Here he is. There, that's him. But nobody will deny it. Nobody. Think of all your atheists on earth who preach against him and speak against him and shake their fists at him. They won't deny him then. Philippians 2, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. We'll do it joyfully, won't we? He's here at last. He's here at last. Why is he coming? He's coming to punish evil. Do you think the planet's evil? Do you think what's going on in the world is evil? Do you think at least some of it is? Well, I do. I think there's a lot of evil going on in the world. He's going to punish it. He's going to come and end it. Is there any corruption on earth? Yeah, there's some corruption on earth. You know, when you give your money to a charity, does it get where it's going? Some of it does. Because it depends on the charity. Some of it gets corrupted. Some of it gets purloined by people. Can we trust everybody who's in charge to be completely honest? Can we have fairness in every just case of justice? Can when Jesus returns? That's what he's going to establish. He's going to establish fairness, justice, righteousness, love. The world will be run on the principles of love. On the principles of the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is all future. As I said, we don't know how far in the future. But we have foretastes now of heaven. Don't we? We can actually taste heaven before we get there. If you look back through your Christian life, I bet you start to think, oh yeah, that was a great moment. Yeah, I tasted his goodness then. Taste and see that the Lord is good, it says in the Psalms. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. It's a foretaste of glory divine. When you have time with Jesus and you feel, wow, I've connected with him. I feel his presence. That's a foretaste of glory divine. We can experience that here and now. Here and now on earth. Don't know about you, I think, I don't experience that enough. You know, I used to journal. I used to go to Rivington every Wednesday and spend the whole day there. Take the Bible, take the notebook. A few Christian books. Walk around in the hills praying to God and asking him, has he got anything to say to me? And sometimes he said, have you got anything to say to me? So I'd start praising him, you know. And then I'd feel miles better after praising him.
And then he'd show me things and I'd write them down. When I read that journal now, I think, oh yeah, oh my God, that was great. That was a taste of heaven. That was an experience I don't get on a normal day-to-day basis. I'm sure you must look back and think of times like that. Maybe weekends away, or maybe conferences, or maybe here when we prayed for people. Tastes of glory divine. We can pursue them. I'm going to close now because it's 12:15. And I want to conclude by saying Jesus is coming back visibly in the air. Everybody will see him. It's not something that's in imagination. It's not just a spirit. It's something that's really going to happen. It's part of those 20% of biblical prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled, but will be fulfilled. Jesus is coming back. My theology says it won't be in the next 7 years, but I could be wrong on that. And maybe it's tonight. And you'll say, John was wrong. It's tonight. Here's Jesus. John was wrong. I bet that won't be what you're thinking at that point. Just finally, I want to conclude by this. I believe before Jesus returns, things will get bad on earth, as they are doing, and possibly worse, but they'll also get better. The church will actually get better. While some will fall away, those who don't know that they love God, and that God loves them, they don't have that in their identity. You've got to get that in your identity. I'm a lover of God, and he loves me. Get that into your identity. Don't have your identity as I'm a Christian who struggles with sin. Don't define yourself that way. Define yourself as I'm a lover of God and he loves me. I do. I do occasionally sin. And I ask him to forgive me. But I'm not defining myself as somebody who struggles with sin and cannot live the Christian life. I'm a Christian. He loves me. So whilst those who haven't got hold of that will fall away, I believe, there'll also be a massive, massive turning to Jesus before he returns. In the years leading to his return, just before, there'll be the biggest revival the world has ever seen. This is my belief. So I can base it on verses. I believe the people we've been praying for, prodigals, Deborah Rice, we mention the names every week, our own children who used to come here, people who've heard the gospel, but for now it's nothing to do with them, it's distant in their lives. When things start to get down to the rub of the black mark, they say, I'm going that way. That's black, that's evil, that's right, that's good. I'm not going that way. I'm going towards goodness. And I think they'll all come back then, the people we're praying for. I think there'll be a massive revival. It won't just be them. There'll be others who will say, this is the message for me. There'll be power. There'll be signs and wonders. Christians will become very powerful. They'll pray and things will happen. And I believe this is the glorious end time just before Jesus returns. So his bride, this is tied in with, is the bride going to be beautiful when the bridegroom returns for the bride? Who thinks the bride might be ugly? The bride has made herself ready. The bride is the church. The church has made herself ready for his return, the return of the bridegroom. The bride will be beautiful. How will it be beautiful? Because it won't be characterized by lukewarmness, any of the things in Revelation 2 and 3. Won't be characterized by lack of love. Won't be characterized by gossip and backbiting. Not saying it is now. Not this one, obviously not. The church will be characterized by the love of God, by worship, by adoration. The bride will be beautiful. Kindness, peace, gentleness, goodness. The bride will be like that. The bride will gaze at Jesus and become more and more like him. The more you gaze at Jesus, the more you become like him. to Corinthians. The more you gaze on his glory, the more it's reflected in you. You want to become more like Jesus? Gaze upon him. Look at him. Worship him. Psalm 27 verse 4. They're doing the tea this week. Psalm 27 verse 4. That's the name of their home group. One thing I've desired. That my gaze upon the beauty of the Lord in his temple. David said, there's only one thing I want. I know I'm the ruler of Israel at the biggest point in its history. But the real thing I enjoy is gazing upon the beauty of the Lord. If we do that, and the church does that, it's in for a great triumphant time, with many coming into the kingdom, replacing all the ones who've apostatized and gone away. More than replacing. That's how I wanted to finish today.